Let us pray. Mighty God, send your Holy Spirit to speak peace, that the good news of this age may be proclaimed through your word, which stands forever. Amen. Our first scripture reading today is from Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Our second scripture reading this morning is also from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she's received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings, lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. This is the word of God for the people of God. The prophet Isaiah has seen some stuff over the course of a 40-year career. He has seen his home kingdom of Judah attacked several times by Syria, by their northern cousins of Israel, and even by the great Assyrian Empire, the people who had conquered Israel. Each time, Isaiah told the king not to get involved with alliances with other great powers, not to become a pawn between, say, Egypt and Assyria. Each time, Isaiah told the king to put all of his trust in God. Each time, the king did put all of his trust in God. And each time, they were delivered. Even when all the other cities of Judah were captured, when Jerusalem was surrounded and besieged, their enemies were forced to lift the siege and go home without capturing the city. Until the day came that the king and the people did not put their trust in God. They strayed too far away. And Isaiah tells them that God is going to allow the Babylonians to conquer them. In this second scripture reading this morning, Isaiah is talking to people who are experiencing the end of the world as they know it, and he's trying to give them hope. He reminds them of what he's already told them, that the people who've walked in darkness have seen a great light. They're going to be going into darkness. So he tells them that the light is coming. They are experiencing pain and sorrow and grief. So he tells them that joy is coming. And the most important thing he tells them is that even though they're about to be conquered, eventually God will give them peace. Peace is an important concept in the Hebrew scriptures. The word shalom, or the peace of God, is used over 200 times. Shalom is more than an absence of armies fighting. Shalom is not even just law and order. Law and order are not the same thing as justice. Law and order mean that people are obeying the rules, not that the rules are right. You can get law and order through fear. If you convince the people that if they step out of line, the man will come and take them away, you can usually achieve law and order with or without any effort to make the rules just. Every occupying army from the Romans of Jesus' day to the Union Army reconstructing the former Confederacy to the Israeli army in the occupied territories today has tried to achieve law and order. The successful ones have achieved it, at least for a while. But shalom goes beyond mere law and order. Shalom requires justice. Shalom involves no fear. It means genuinely being at peace. The Hebrew vision of shalom was each family having their own land, their own vines and fig tree. Not necessarily anybody being incredibly rich, but each family securely having enough. Each family having enough means there's no point in envying what somebody else has. Each family being secure means that every person knows they will eat tomorrow, even if they offend someone or have bad luck today. Justice means that nobody needs to be afraid that someone else is going to come take what they have. Every family knows that they have what they need and that they will have what they need tomorrow. And they're not afraid. That is shalom, or the peace of God. When that happens, the people will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. When that happens, they will have no need of weapons, so they'll turn them into tools to bring in the harvest. Isaiah tells the people that this peace, this shalom, is coming. But they'll still have to go through. All the stuff he's told them is coming. They will have to live through invasion. They will have to live through being exiled in Babylon. When they return to Jerusalem and rebuild it, that will not be easy. Isaiah doesn't tell them this, but the Hebrew people will be conquered again and again. Alexander the Great will conquer Judea, and the Maccabees will free it again after his death. Then the Roman Empire will conquer it and install their puppet king, Herod. Both Alexander and the Romans are good at achieving law and order, but not so much the justice part of shalom. If you and I look around us, I don't see shalom everywhere. Do you? Do you see peace when you turn on the TV news? Do you see everyone having enough? Do you see justice being done consistently for everyone? I don't. If there were genuine peace covering just our country, the news would not be full of shootings. If everyone had enough, we wouldn't need to gather coats for kids and hats and gloves, because the kids would all have what they needed. If everyone had enough, we wouldn't need to feed people at HM3. everyone would have enough to eat. If justice were done for everyone, no one would be exonerated while they sat on death row. An innocent person would never get there. But that's happened 166 times in the United States since the death penalty was reinstituted in 1973. There are no statistics available on the number of people who've been proven innocent after their execution. All of these things are true. But there is more shalom around the world in the 21st century than there was in the days when Jesus walked the earth. It's not evenly distributed. It's in little pockets around the country and around the world, usually temporary. And over time, it's growing slowly. In a school on the West Side, a second grader who was dreading recess is given a warm coat. And with a child's marvelous ability to live in the moment, she has enough. She has peace. She has shalom. At HM3, for that couple hours, everyone in that room has enough to eat. We're usually sending leftovers home with people to help them have enough for a little while longer. For a couple hours, we achieve shalom. A child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. The Prince of Peace is coming. His authority, the sphere of shalom, is growing more slowly than a lot of us would like, but it's growing. We are followers of this Prince of Peace. If we want to see shalom in the world, if we want to see that sphere grow, we've got some work to do. This Advent, let us prepare for God's arrival. Make the road straight and smooth, a highway fit for our God. Fill in the valleys, level off the hills. Smooth out the ruts, clear out the rocks. Then God's bright glory will shine and everyone will see it, just as God has said. Look for places in your life where the arrival of the Prince of Shalom could be awkward or difficult. Places maybe where you hold a grudge, or where you would secretly in your heart welcome bad things happening to someone else. As even Walt Disney would tell you, let it go. Fill in those valleys. Places maybe where you've hurt someone, whether intentional or not, make it right. Even if you still think you were right in the first place, value the person and the relationship more than you value being right. Level off those hills. Places where you could help someone less fortunate in worldly goods. Give what you can, and don't worry about what they're going to do with it. That's between them and God. Whether you give, that's between you and God. Smooth out those ruts. Places where someone around you needs someone to listen. That's something that any of us can do and that we don't do enough of. Give of your time to those who need another human being to listen and to acknowledge their humanity and their situation. clear out those rocks. If we do this, it's a start. Then I tell you, God's bright glory will shine and everyone will see it. Yes, just as God has said. Amen.